Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I am your host, Andy. We got the whole crew in the house tonight, just like we always do. BQ, give me a hot food take.
Hot food take?
Something that you like that other people don't, or vice versa.
Well,
come on.
I was going to go somewhere, but Nick gave it like a...
No, you do whatever.
I was going with a dip.
Go for it.
But I'm not. I'm not going to go there. But I have had a food on my mind. Does that work?
Bring it.
I saw this video.
Uh-oh.
I think it's like in the Bronx or Brooklyn. Anyway, they're known for their subs or their Italian food. Anyway, I think I talked about the hollowed out hoagie.
Yeah.
With meatballs.
Oh, yes.
And they called it the Italian ice cream cone. It looks so good. I had to go to New York sooner than later because I want this sandwich.
It looks really good.
So it's a meatball sub.
It's phenomenal.
No, but it's served in a cone.
Yeah,
almost it's like there's meatballs coming out the top. It looks like an ice cream cone of
and
meatballs.
Then watching them make it, it's a different level.
It looks
it's
very really good.
It's an experience.
Yeah, it's really
looks
good.
Really good.
Yeah.
All right, that was Kelly. You heard there, Kelly. You smoke meats from time to time, don't you?
On the grill. Specify
first choice. If you know you're going to spend a Sunday smoking meats, what aisle do you go to? What meat department do you go to first?
Oh, I'm getting a. I'm not a big brisket. I mean, I love brisket. I don't like cooking. It's too time consuming for me.
Oh my goodness.
So I'll go with, if I want to smoke something, a lesser meat, I'll do a tri-tip, which is a lower portion of a sirloin-ish. Works just as good as any other steak or roast. So
love that.
How long does it take to do a good brisket?
I mean, I don't even know. If you do it right, 24 hours?
Yeah, if it depends on the size, it'd be 18 hours. I mean,
okay. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a process.
You got to wrap it and stick it in a cooler
for
hours on it.
Yeah,
I got you.
Wild.
I've done it before, but I haven't done all the other things. I just smoked it, got it out, let it chill.
And obviously, it's pricier to go to a local barbecue joint and just get a pound of brisket if you really are dying for it that bad. But anyway, Nicholas, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
You got to eliminate one universe, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's actually tougher than I thought it would
be. Wipe one from existence.
I'm going Star Wars, wipe it out.
You choosing Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Wow, that surprises me, actually.
Because when I think about if I was watching both of those were on side by side, I can only pick one. Lord of the Rings is more entertaining to me than Star Wars.
Is the universe a little deeper, maybe?
Oh, I think so.
So can I ask a question? When you say Lord of the Rings, does that include The Hobbit?
I'm saying the whole...
That's why I said the universe.
Oh, okay.
So we're losing Andor, we're losing, Obi-Wan, the Rogue One, all that too, if we go Star Wars.
I'm going Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You're picking.
I'm sticking with it.
Very good.
That's a tough... You should ask Doc that one.
Well,
his head might have exploded.
No, I already know his answer, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't work. It's Lord of the Rings, isn't it, Doc?
I think so.
You're choosing to keep Lord of the Rings.
I think I would,
Thought so. All right, Scotty.
Whoa.
He's more Hobbit than nerd.
Yeah, definitely.
Keeping Lord of the Rings over.
It's his people, man.
Wait, what's the difference?
Between a Hobbit and a nerd? Shoe size only, my friend.
Yeah. Feet hair.
A lot of foot hair.
Nick.
A lot of lonely Saturday nights.
Scotty, I saved you for last because on purpose. Mm. I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I have been spending way too much time thinking about your body.
Whoa.
Specifically, the fact that you are not tattooed, as we've covered recently on an episode.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you're brave enough to commit.
Yep.
What benchmark would this show have to hit in order for you to get a TUTP somewhere on your body?
I like that.
I like it.
Great question.
And by the way, if he ever goes, we're all going with him, by the way. So
for sure.
Get your minds right. I don't care.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I mean, it would have to be, I guess since we're currently only audio, it would have to be followers, right?
Sure. I like that.
I mean, we have 168 subscribers on YouTube and growing every week. So,
all of you followers, we want to see this happen. So get to type in.
Tell your friends.
If we were on YouTube or when we get to YouTube, if we hit 1 million subscribers, that would be.
That's a big number.
You heard him, listeners.
Yeah.
That's right. It is on record. And I don't know if Illinois is one of those states where it's a binding contract if it's stated verbally, but I'm going to go ahead and assume it is.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys. We got a great episode ahead for you. I will be your host this evening. If you have any questions about the show or want to send in something for us to answer, you want to ask the guys a question to get to know them a little better, then by all means, send it to us at our email, theultimatetriviapodcast@gmail.com. Pro-Am's in the closet. How are we doing tonight?
Doing all right.
All right. What about you? Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
I would have to go Star Wars. I have to say I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
it
boy.
It is a time commitment, let me tell you. So
it is.
Yeah, especially if you watch the extended versions on HBO. They're like 4 hours apiece.
Yep.
And I could not tell you what they added.
No.
I was there for 4 hours. I don't know. There was no part I was like, oh, wait, I don't remember this.
Little bits and pieces.
I think it was all just in the credits, maybe. I don't know.
All right. We ready to move on?
Yes.
It's time for the main event, our 20-question trivia game.
Oh, man.
On all things pop culture. And I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'm going to read a question. The boys will write the answer on their whiteboard. When I say reveal, they will have to show their answers. If they get it right, Nick's going to award them a point.
Yep.
And if we get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins.
20 questions, 20 points.
Nope, 25.
Oh. What? This is anarchy.
Question number 18 is worth 2 points.
Okay.
Question number 19 is worth 2 points. Question number 20 is worth 4 points.
Jeez Louise.
What's the take?
I'm going to get beat by double digits. You're still,
so you're still in it. There's a really good chance you could still be in it late.
This is extra, extra large trivia. We're calling it pop culture XXL.
So if you have 20 points total, 20 questions, and then 18 and 19 are worth two, and then 26? The last 20 is worth four. Wouldn't that be 26 total points?
All right, hold on.
Oh, you said the last was worth four, though. You didn't.
So 1 through 21 is 20.
He added on 5 additional points. Okay. That's 25.
Extra, gotcha.
Extra. Yeah. 10. I did the math right.
Yeah.
I knew math.
It was the way it was said. Maybe I know where he's going with that. Yeah. All right.
Very good. Okay. So just a little bit of insight here. This covers pop culture in our lifetime. So since 1980 officially, I don't plan to put that in the title or anything, but we'll cover another era in that time. And it can be anything, pop culture, TV, sports, movies, news headlines, video games, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's a little, might be a little leaning towards the big and small screens, but there's plenty of others in there.
Okay.
Guys, ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to be.
Buckle up. Sure. This will be a long one.
Flavors at a minimum.
Let's go.
That is a benefit. He's going to talk less. He's going to ask questions. I'm all flavor.
You got to get through it.
I don't believe him.
We'll see.
Yeah, fair point. All right. Question number one. And the category, which I will give you, is TV. What Netflix series is set in Hawkins, Indiana, and features the Upside Down? Got a bunch of writing happening. BQ's coming in finally. This is one that if you know it, it is pretty much a layup. But if you don't, it's like so much trivia, I guess. Boards are being finalized. We got them in the air. Let's show them. We've got Stranger Things all the way around. Everybody's on the board.
Start.
There you go.
Like a good layup.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to get off the schneid there, huh?
So I would say, I know the way this is going, this could be a 2-hour episode, so I'll keep it short. But season one, to me, is one of the best seasons of any show, period. Yeah. Is that good?
I love it. I just remember watching it, and I didn't hear a lot of critic reviews, but in my head, what I described it as, you know, a little bit of just 80s nostalgia, like every show that I described it of, when I heard critic reviews, it was exactly how it was in my head, how I described it. Yeah,
it was fresh in that way. In fact, it was set in 1983, and it's packed with Spielberg and Stephen King types of DNA. And it did kick off, just as Kelly said, that modern nostalgia type of genre. So, all right. Very good. Moving on to question number two, and we are in sports. In the 1996 NBA draft, Kobe Bryant was selected by which team before being traded to the LA Lakers? Brian is done. Kelly is done. Nick is deep in thought. Scotty is writing. It's taking him a long time, which makes me question if he's right or not.
I could give Nick a hint.
You could, but it seems like you are on it and he is not, so that would be quite a...
Never gonna get it.
All right. Nick's got his answer down one more time. In the 1996 NBA draft, Kobe Bryant was selected by which team before being traded to the Lakers? Let's see it. We got the Bucks from Nick, Detroit Pistons from Scotty, Charlotte Hornets from Kelly, the 76ers from BQ. Charlotte Hornets is the right answer.
Good job, Kelly.
Was she the number 8 pick?
Nope.
Okay.
Guess again.
Six.
I'll give you one more. Nope, you were a little low. In fact, Kobe Bryant was picked 13th overall. Ooh. And was traded to LA for
Vlade Divac.
So
nice.
I just went 76ers. Isn't he from Philly or has some?
Yeah, he went to high school.
Okay,
Lower Marion High School.
I didn't think of
that. Pennsylvania.
I didn't know that. In fact,
sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was one of the early ones in a stretch of high schoolers, right? And then they changed the rules on.
Correct.
Him.
Yeah.
Black Mamba for Vlade. Come on. Yeah. What are we doing?
Who won that trade?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, moving on. Question number 3. Video games. What Nintendo game series follows the hero Link on recurring quests across Hyrule? What Nintendo game series follows the hero Link across recurring quests across Hyrule? Recurring.
Links. One of us has like 4 different shirts of this.
Well, you know, that's a nice little hint there. Yeah, in case anybody wasn't sure what that answer might be.
We've already written it down.
What are we talking about?
Let's see those answers, guys. Sure enough, we've got The Legend of Zelda. That is the correct answer.
All right.
Yep. The series uses repeating mythical roles, so Link, Zelda, Ganon, across eras, and Nintendo later tried to map it all into an official timeline with multiple branches, evidently. I was never a Zelda. I'm a huge gamer still, even now. And I was never a Zelda guy.
Quick question. How are we going to do score checks? Are we going to do it after 10?
Every 5.
Okay, every 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, every 5. Yeah. I'm quick on that. He was ready.
Yeah. Yeah. He was ready. I thought all this through. I've been chewing on this idea for a while. So
I like it.
Yeah, it took, you got to write 20 questions. I'm sure it took a while.
Yeah, we've talked about video games in the past. We, of course, have a video game episode. Nick, you didn't really have much of a relationship with games, no, right? You were an outdoor game.
You didn't play them outside.
So it was only on rainy days.
Rainouts only.
Yeah. Okay. Kelly, we never really, I don't remember your stance on video games.
I played them occasionally. I think I played a little bit of every game, just like a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, right.
Type deal.
Okay. Very good. We're moving on to question number 4. TV is the category. Before running the bar in Cheers, Sam Malone was a player for what Major League Baseball team? 4 very busy boards. This is a show we discuss often. Before running the bar in Cheers, Sam Malone was a player for what Major League Baseball team? Looks like everybody's ready already. No reason to wait. Let's see it. Oh, he got Boston Red Sox all the way around. If you've watched the show even for 30 seconds, it makes total sense. He was the laughing stock.
He was a relief pitcher.
A relief pitcher. That's right. It's in my notes here. Kelly, I think you've stated this is like your favorite show of all time, basically. I don't remember. Have you watched any of the episodes recently?
Yeah, I started watching them, within the past 5 years. Started from the beginning.
It's rough.
It holds up, but the first episode had some rather questionable innuendos that wouldn't fly today.
Well, I mean, you don't have to go back that far to find out.
Those, not even.
Yeah, not at all. Well, Sam's backstory is that he was a relief pitcher, which fits the character perfectly. Short bursts of glory followed by immediate chaos. Moving on to question number 5, and we enter the music realm. Who is often called the Queen of Pop and released Like a Virgin in 1984? And music is a category that absolutely transcends all 5 of us. Right? I mean, some of us like TV more or movies more or certain sports more than others, but music is the one thing.
I might not have got it without the hit, or it would have taken me longer to get there.
Really debated whether or not to put that in there.
Because another name popped up right away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll be curious to hear that. All right, we're ready. Who is often called the Queen of Pop and released Like a Virgin in 1984? It is, in fact, Madonna. Kelly, who were you thinking?
My initial thought before the clue hit was Janet. Whitney Houston.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Janet.
Yeah.
Queen and King.
Yeah, that makes sense too, yeah.
That's where I would have gone. Were you a Madonna guy, Doc? I mean, 80s music, obviously, is your jam, but you're more of a rock.
I mean, it was fine. Yeah.
That's good. I don't know that I bought any albums, but there's a couple Guilty Pleasure songs. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll listen to it. Care to share any of those on the air? Are you just going to keep those tight to the vest?
Cherish your love.
BQ, Madonna fan?
Okay. It's Cherish, by the way, not Cherish your love.
it's just Cherish.
Just Cherish.
Cherish. She had some catchy songs. Yeah, for sure. Man,
Like
she
Prayer is a banger, dude.
Yeah. And she had a little, controversy, I don't know how to say it, but she was genius what she did, really, in a way.
She pushed the envelope. Very controversial.
Yeah. And I think it kind of laid the framework, though, for like what a lot of the young female artists do today. So she was very influential for sure.
Hardcore. Broke the mold for sure. The title track hit number one for 6 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. And her 1984 MTV VMAs performance basically rewrote the rule book on how a pop star can use controversy as marketing fuel. I mean, that is pegged right there.
Yeah. Well, and remember, like a Prayer, that video was very. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she knows she's doing.
You betcha. And not a terrible actress. She was, willing to push that envelope as well. Perfect. We'll leave that alone. All right. Yeah. That is five questions. Nicholas, where do we stand?
All right. We have a three-way tie for second between myself, Scott, and Brian. Kelly is in lead. He's 5 for 5.
At the thousand.
There you go.
That's it. Moving on to question number 6. This might be the question I'm most excited about.
Do you ever stop to think that batting 1,000 is not batting 1,000? It's batting 1. 1.000.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
In volleyball, they use the same thing. They call, it's similar to batting average. Hitting 300 is 3 out of 10 successful, right? Yeah.
Right. But it's 1.000.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 6. In The Matrix, what color pill does Neo take?
Oh, wow.
Right.
I know there's a 50-50 shot. I don't know. Can you tell us which pill does which?
I would love to.
Darn it.
Yep.
All right.
Probably a coin flip for most. 50.
It is. 50. Yeah. Anybody got it for sure?
Nick, you got it?
I'm not 100%. I'm trying to think of the image.
I know, right?
Yeah.
The glasses.
The scene. Yeah.
Morpheus's glasses. Brian, you got an answer down, bud?
Yeah, I'm not. Look at guess.
Coin flip. All right. Yep. In The Matrix. We got red or blue. What are we taking? Dang. Red is the correct answer. Hey. Kelly was the only one to put blue on that one.
I got roped into writing a trivia for work less than a year ago.
Okay.
This was one of my questions.
Is that right? Yeah. Love that.
Even then, I wasn't sure.
I think I've talked about this before, but it took me probably 4 or 5 watches before I really understood what was happening in that movie.
Oh, sure.
It just made my brain spin.
The technology of our world had to catch up for us to truly understand it.
That's true.
It did. We had no experience with it.
Copper top, man. No kidding. This movie mashed together cyberpunk philosophy and, of course, the cutting edge special effects and then permanently altered sci-fi action movies. I mean, how many times has the bullet dodging scene been parodied across, or the jumping and spinning camera and all that? Super cool. Love that movie. Fortunately, the 3 sequels they put out were garbage.
I still enjoyed them all.
I liked 2.
2 wasn't bad.
Yeah. I liked them all.
Yeah. All right. Question number 7. Back to music. The hardest thing and Because of You were hits for what late 90s boy band?
Say the titles again.
The Hardest Thing and Because of You. They were hits for what boy band in the 90s?
Okay.
Deep thought. Everything about Nick says he loved boy bands in the 90s. Doc, you're the only one that went to board pretty quickly. How confident are you?
Not very.
Okay. The hardest thing, and because of you, were hits for what late 90s boy band?
Yeah, I don't know those songs.
Answers on four boards?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's see the answers. We have 98 Degrees from Brian and Kelly and Scott and Nick. What is going on? I thought this one was going to stump you. That's the right answer.
No, it didn't stump me. It's a wild guess.
Yes, yeah, that was a wild guess. That was a wag.
I just never heard of them, and 98 Degrees popped in my head. I was, you know, the other ones, I heard their songs before. I never heard that song.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say, is you figured it wasn't NSYNC, and...
Backstreet Boys.
So that was the only other one that came to mind? Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah,
there's plenty of other boy bands.
Yeah.
But that's the one that stuck
with me. I didn't recognize either title. And then as it went on, I'm like, oh, the hardest thing to start playing. But I knew it was 98.
Really? So, I did not know.
That is surprising to me. Other boy bands. What would you consider the R&B groups boy bands? The Silks, the Shy,
technically,
Boys to Men.
A lot of people talk about Boys to Men.
Technically.
Yeah. Okay.
They all had choreography. They all made pop songs.
Jodeci.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jodeci. Well, the group was built around Nick Lachey, leaned more R&B than some of the other boy band rivals, and because of you, hit the top 10 in 1998, right in the peak of the era when TRL could make or break your entire career. True that. Moving on. Question number 8. It is TV. I don't know if I know it's the category before. It is TV. In the United States version of The Office, what company do they work for? Another one that if you've seen it, it's second nature. I had a much harder Office question for this one.
I was hoping for one.
Wishing that I would have asked it.
Right. Can you ask it afterwards?
I can tell you when I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know.
Well, I'm do it now.
If I know it.
Do you know Michael Scott's middle name?
Oh.
I do not.
Okay.
I'm going to...
You said several times.
I'm going to guess Ray.
Okay.
Somebody David popping in my head. Nope. It's not that.
Nope. Anybody else want to take a stab?
Something weird.
Program, you a fan? No. It's Gary. That's all. Gary Scott.
It's terrible.
All right. What was the company they work for specifically in the United States version? Let's turn those around. Sure enough, Dunder Mifflin is the correct answer, and everybody got it right.
Whoop.
We are scoring here. That's a show I think I've talked about. I mean, I literally had lost count. I mean, maybe 80 times I've watched the entire thing through. It was just on repeat on Netflix for a while.
Impressive.
Yeah, maybe.
What's the British company?
I don't know. Never watched that a day in my life. Not 1 minute of it. Couldn't tell you. Pro-Am, you want to look that up for us?
You betcha.
Yeah, the...
Is Mondor Difflin.
Oh, that'd be awesome. The show's mockumentary format traced back to the UK original and helped spark the whole wave of awkward realism sitcoms. And there is definitely a brand there, right? Greg Daniels, yeah. I think, has his hand in a lot of them.
Yeah, it is.
What you got?
The British version is Wernham Hogg, H-O-G-G, and they are paper merchants.
Okay. Still got paper going.
It's Ricky
Wernham
Gervais,
Hogg,
right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrote it and created it.
Has anybody watched the...
I've seen parts of episodes. There's a few actors in there you recognize. The guy that Jim plays in the British version, I think he's in Lord of the Rings. Is he in The Hobbit, maybe?
Mm.
I think he's... He's in The Hobbit. Yeah, I think he's Bilbo.
Oh, okay. Martin Freeman?
Yeah.
Oh, Martin Freeman.
Yeah, I think he plays Jim's role. The guy that played... Yeah, you'll recognize at least three, maybe up to five people in that show.
Yeah, I got you.
The first, from what I understand, the very first season, which was only about 6 or 8 episodes long, follows it just to a T.
Yes.
And then they diverge pretty good.
Correct.
Right. All right, moving on. Question number 9. It is, we'll call it social media.
Okay.
Back when it was actually Twitter, what was Twitter's original character limit per post? Twitter became known and famous for having a character limit. What was that before they...
I have two numbers in my head.
Beyond it.
I only have one number, so...
Yeah, and they're similar. They're similar, like there's one digit difference.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
Oh, man.
Hope I'm right. I think I'm right. I feel good about it.
This is the only one I know of, so.
Oh, you know for sure.
No, I don't. Oh. But if it was something previous or post, I
okay.
You know, I'm not sure. This is the only one I know. So.
All right, back to the days of Twitter. How many characters could you max in a post? That's a terrible way to ask that. Let's see it. 120 from Nick, 300 from Scotty, 140 from Kelly, 150 from Brian. We do.
140 was my other answer.
That's the answer. 140 yeah. characters was the original. Anybody want to take a stab at why that was chosen?
Couldn't tell you.
I have no idea.
Doc, anything? Any ideas?
Had to do with the number of lines you could have?
You're not terribly off.
Viewing or the attention studies on the attention span of people.
That's probably true.
That started
on a secondary level, but yeah. Well, the 140 character cap wasn't arbitrary. It was done. It was designed to fit within the 160 character SMS limit. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, text messages had a limit of 160. So it left room for a username and the message, which is why early Twitter felt like public texting, which is. Mm-hmm.
I remember the text limits because you would text and then shut it off
yeah.
and then
yeah.
you continue another right. text. Or
eventually the technology caught funny. Up and it would say two of two.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. I do remember. Yeah, yeah. Two of two. Yeah, that's
you're fighting with your girlfriend. Argument wouldn't cut in 100, dot, dot, dot. Wouldn't fit in 160.
Right. Also makes sense why we have the shorthand, the LOLs.
And oh,
the,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite never, literally where that was born.
Yeah, I didn't put that together until yeah. just now.
Well said. All right, moving on to question number 10. Then we'll get another score check. We're going back to the movies. It's going to be a layup for this room, I have a feeling. Question number 10 is, what actress played Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter film series? Hermione Granger. She was in all 8 films. I believe when she started, she was 9 years old. Actually, that's probably a hint because you might not know that the young girl was Hermione. So there you go. There's a hint for you.
I can't think of her name.
I knew. I had it. Man, why did I know that was going to happen? I'm going to give you a second here.
I
just had a feeling that this is one that Nick just is going to crap the bed.
I'll wait because.
It's all right. I can't think of it.
All right.
I can't.
Got a short clock on a 20-question trivia. Yeah, what ahead, actress man. Played Hermione Granger in Harry Potter? Let's see it. Sure enough, Emma Watson, except for Nick, who abstains.
Initially, I'm like, Emma Stone. Yep, got it. No, I'm like, that is not it. That's not her.
That's awesome.
It took me about five seconds to get there.
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah, she appeared, like as I mentioned, she appeared in all 8 films, and Hermione became one of the biggest modern examples of brain's first heroes in blockbuster storytelling. Huh. So, yeah, she was the brains and quite judgy there for a while, I feel. Anyway, we're going to continue to cover those, I imagine. We'll make a point there. That was 10 questions. We're going to go ahead and hear from our sponsors at this point, and we'll come back. Nick will give us an update.
All right, from worst to first, I only have 7. Doc, you and Brian both have 8, and Kelly back in the lead with 9.
9.
Close match.
Leading the charge. It is a close match, and don't very forget, close. There are a total of how many points at the end?
25.
Well,
yeah. Total. There's 15 more points available.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, we're actually going to take our opportunity to cheers our donations fans since we had a little bit of change here at the beginning. So, Pro-Am. Who do we have to thank for our donations this week?
Sierra gave us our most recent donation, so thank you, Sierra. We toast you tonight.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank toast you. To you. We thank all you. Got Sierra. Different drinks here's tonight, Sierra. So nothing you. To highlight. Thank you, Sierra. Very good. Moving on to question number 11, and we're staying at the movies. What 1985 movie featured 5 students stuck in Saturday detention at Shermer High? It's a busy boards. This is just about as pop culture-y as you can get. What 1985 movie features 5 students stuck in Saturday detention at Shermer High? This is ready for reveal. Let's see it. Sure enough, The Breakfast Club is the correct answer. No drama to that. Everybody's got it. The Breakfast Club. The Brat Pack.
Yes.
Right?
Most kind of
the quintessential part of the Brat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another movie that, you know, if somebody said think of a Brat Pack movie that would come to mind quicker than this one?
Santa Most Fire is up there for me. Okay. That's the only one I think off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say that's
the big one. Yeah.
For
me.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's transcended time, right? Well, John Hughes basically wrote the template for the modern teen ensemble. And those stereotypes, they're still being remixed as we speak. I mean, the goody two shoes girl, and then the, you know, off, what would you call her?
The wild one.
Yeah. Well, you know, just non typical.
Eclectic.
Yeah. What?
There you go.
Basket case.
And then you got a jock, and you got the bad boy,
nerd, right?
And the nerd. I mean,
do you remember all the names?
Right.
I think he says nerd, a jock, or an athlete. Yeah. A jock, prom queen.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't remember what he called Ali Sheedy.
I think it might be basket.
I think it was basket case, yeah. And then a criminal. Is that what he called?
Judge Nelson.
I don't remember.
Criminal.
It's in the report that he turns in at the end.
Stoner? No,
I think it's criminal for some reason.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah. Nice work. All right, moving on to question number 12. We're in music. Back to music again. What 1991 Nirvana album features the famous Baby Swimming Towards a Dollar Bill cover? What was the name of that album? What 1991 Nirvana album features the famous Baby Swimming Towards a Dollar Bill cover? What was
this? The only one I think I know, so I'm hoping I'm right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very good. Everybody ready?
Ready.
Very good. Let's see them. We got Nevermind from Nick and Scott and Brian. And unfortunately, what'd you say? Utero?
Yeah.
From Kelly. He faltered opening that door, baby.
Nevermind.
Oh, well, whatever.
Absolutely. Mind. Changed music.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Did it.
Yeah.
For a period.
Mainstream music, anyway. I mean, well, Smells Like Teen Spirit was the breakout, but the album's cleaner production compared to a lot of the gritty earlier grunge, helping it cross over to radio and MTV and explode far beyond the Seattle scene.
Yeah.
Somebody had to break out, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Was Green Day part of that movement?
No.
Or they came a little
after,
later?
Right?
No.
After.
They came punk. Later.
They're more punk.
Punk, yeah. Okay. I just know that Green Day had a major collection before they ever made it mainstream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
they
were often looked at as sellouts for getting more poppy in their music, right?
Yeah, they were active at the same time, but they broke a little bit later.
In that same arena there or not. All right, moving on. Question number 13 now, and we're back to the movies. In the Iron Man films, what's the name of Tony Stark's AI assistant? In the Iron Man films, which is an important distinction.
Yes, there it is.
What's the name of Tony Stark's AI assistant?
Bonus. What's that? What's the other ones?
Yeah, right. No. I really wanted to give a bonus for what it stood for, actually, because it's... it's so deep, though, nobody would have got there. All right. In the Iron Man films, what's the name of Tony Stark's assistant? AI assistant. It is Jarvis, and everybody's got it. That's amazing. Anybody want to take a stab at what it stands for?
Nope.
You'll name it. I mean, it's not guessable.
Is the A artificial?
No.
Okay. Then no, I got nothing.
A is just A, actually.
Oh. Wow.
So it's creative. Pro-Am, any ideas? This is a favorite of yours.
I'm cheating.
Are you? There you go. All right. Thank you for your integrity. It stands for just a rather very intelligent system. I mean, like I said, not guessable. No. And the name nods to Jarvis, the Stark family's longtime butler in the Marvel lore, which I did not know. Hmm. Well, I mean, I didn't know what it stood for either. But yeah, what else do we got there, Nick?
So after Jarvis becomes Vision, his new assistant is Friday?
Nailed it. All right. Got it. Ooh. That's from memory. But yes, I knew that already too.
What?
I didn't hear that. What is it?
Oh, so Tony Stark ends up with a second assistant because Jarvis becomes, once he takes the Infinity Stone and all that stuff, but he becomes Vision, and the new AI assistant, her name is Friday.
I love Friday. That he calls,
Friday.
I love that he calls Scotty a nerd for knowing all the Lord of the Rings. Right.
Right. That was quite the dissertation, hey, Nick. Very,
we're all
very informative.
We're all nerds about something. It's just being passionate about something.
Nerds rule the world, man. I will never be embarrassed about that. All right, moving on to question number 14, and we are back to the television, sitcoms specifically. The show Family Matters is a TGIF sitcom that made Steve Urkel a household name. It was a spinoff of what ABC sitcom? It was a spinoff. Family Matters. Okay, so this is the show. I would imagine more people know the name Urkel than the name of the actual television show, but it was Family Matters. Made Stephen Urkel famous. It was a spinoff of what ABC show?
Is there a time frame for the original spinoff show?
Probably, but I don't have that in front of me. Man, there is some hard thinking happening in this room, and no writing.
For some reason,
trivia question.
Thank you.
It really is. I know. That is a good one.
Very good. Kelly's got an answer down. Nick is considering just giving up entirely. Oh, he's going to the port. I love it. Better to guess. Scotty's finally writing. Brian's still lost in the ether. One more time, and then it's time to go. Family Matters, the TGIF sitcom that made Steve Urkel a household name, was a spinoff of what ABC sitcom? Let's see the answers. We got Full House from Nick, Growing Pains from Scott, 227 from Kelly. Brian abstains. Pro-Am, you got a guess on this, or did you cheat?
Cheating.
Yep, very good. It is Perfect Strangers.
Oh, wow.
That is deep.
I would not have got there.
Wait, you mean with Balky?
Yeah.
It's Balky.
Like, I heard this recently.
I love that.
How?
I don't
incredible.
Know. Would you like to know?
I would never.
Yeah, I just asked.
Wow.
Family Matters spun off from Perfect Strangers and lived on ABC's TGIF lineup. Harriet Winslow started as the elevator operator at the same newspaper where Larry and Balky worked. The producers liked the Winslows so much, they built a whole show around her family, including Carl, played by Reginald Bell Johnson, fresh off his Die Hard fame, and the kids, of course. Though Judy eventually gets quietly erased like she never existed.
That's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut.
That is fantastic.
Benson Pinocchio, what's Balky's name? Real name?
Boy, that's Bronson Pinchot.
There you go.
Pinchot or Pinocchio?
Pinchot.
Love him in Beverly Hills. Love him in Beverly Hills, Scott.
We're right there.
Great.
Have you heard the fan fiction about Carl and all the history of his movies? And at the end, he's having a psychological break, and he thinks he's in this family. And it's from the first movie that he was, the first Die Hard movie where he killed 13-year-old boy, mm-hmm. and Urkel's the guy.
Tells the story of it, yeah.
If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, I expected that one to be a showstopper, so well
good
done
job.
Living
job.
Up to my expectations.
Yeah, nailed it.
That was good.
All right, question number 15 before we get our final score check here. We're going back to the movies. Champ Kind and Brian Fontana are characters in what 2004 comedy film? Champ Kind and Brian Fontana, are characters in what 2004 comedy film? I knew this room would get it. One of the most quotable movies, comedies especially, out there. Listeners, are you so quick on the board? Scotty is writing
the
entire title, and I applaud
him. I'm not writing the whole thing.
I want to write that
one. We know.
I wanted to abbreviate what I wrote down.
Yeah.
All right, last time, Champ Kind, Brian Fontana, our characters in what 2004 comedy film? Let's see the answer. I'm going to read Scotty's since it is the full correct title. It is Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy, and that is the right answer. Everybody got it.
Yes, we did.
Anchorman. I mean, this is in the quick Rolodex, right, of quotable movies.
Yes,
absolutely.
I Am in a Glass Case of Emotion is one of the funniest scenes.
That whole sequence.
Oh, my
great.
Lord. That is just magic. And I was thinking about this after I wrote this question, and I was thinking about how quotable it is for us. It just seems like a lot of Will Ferrells are really quotable.
Will Ferrell movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about the way he delivers that just makes it so quotable.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know why that.
Oh, you figure.
Like to dissect.
Figure how many takes they do with him ad-libbing those lines, and they land on that one, so you know it's a banger.
Absolutely. In fact, this movie was set in 1970s local news culture when anchors were local celebrities, and everything was somehow both serious and ridiculous, and all the guys improv'd a tremendous amount of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which just, I mean, it's just gold. It just is.
Fantastic.
All right. All right. Final score check before we hit the home stretch. Nicholas.
All right. I have 11. Everybody else has 12.
Oh, boy.
Wow. All right. Question number 16, the home stretch here. We are back in music. What is the real name of Notorious B.I.G.? Okay. Wow, faster marker movement than I would have expected here. Kelly's got that air of confidence around him, although he's bundled up like it's 4 degrees in here.
That's true.
It is.
I guess, do you have two hoods?
I'm freezing.
He has a hat like and two hoods. I'm taking a picture. We're going to post this on YouTube.
Cold as shit.
Cold as shit.
It is. It was cooler down here
this
time, and I'd say thank you, Scott.
Which is weird because it's been like 70 degrees outside for the past couple days.
AC actually kicked on.
Middle of February.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
What is the real name of the Notorious B.I.G.?
Hold on, Brian.
Brian's still thinking? My mistake.
Oh. I'm so embarrassed right now.
You shouldn't be embarrassed, but it's one of those things where
we've come across this a lot.
I'm not. I should know this. Yeah. This is terrible. I'm embarrassed.
Been there.
I'll give you a few more seconds, baby. All right. Nope. Not coming to you?
Nope.
All right. Very good. The real name, Notorious B.I.G. Let's see it. Christopher Wallace is the answer. That it comes from Kelly and Nick. We got Wallace from Brian. I can't quite give it to him.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I knew.
Scotty had Smalls, unfortunately.
Couldn't come
up with it.
Smalls.
Oh, you didn't have it?
He did not.
Just me and Kelly?
That's right.
Yeah. Win or lose, I'm embarrassed.
Well,
I had Wallace to lose. So.
We have come across that many times in our standard trivia. That's a common theme, of course, is to have, you know, what's the
original.
Or actually, it's the other way, typically. You know, what's the name, the stage name for Christopher Wallace in this case?
Sure.
I think usually we go the opposite way.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've had multiple questions about the artist and what's their real name.
That is true.
Elton John.
We did Elton John.
Yeah. Can't remember the other ones. But, all right.
His debut album, Ready to Die, in 1994, became a defining East Coast hip-hop record. Storytelling, dark humor, and razor-sharp flow. Man, he was 24 when he passed away.
It's incredible.
That is just
shocking. How much he put out, though. Before he's 24.
That's exactly
right. I mean, say that about a lot of artists, but still, I'm just saying.
The impact he had on hip-hop.
And the impact. You're right. Absolutely.
Man, crazy. Yeah. All right. Our last one-point question here at question number 17. I'm not hyping it, am I? Back to the movies. Before the Academy created the Best Animated Feature category, which was first awarded in 2002, what was the only animated film ever nominated for Best Picture? So pre-2002, what was the only animated film ever nominated for Best Picture? Kelly started confident, and now he's wincing.
I just have a couple more things going through my head, but I'm sticking with what
I
had
an instinct, though. It came to mind immediately.
I'm just sticking with what I initially had.
Nick, confident?
So before... you said 2002
to honor the movies of 2001. So they, you know, it's like the Super Bowl, right? It always goes back a year. So in 2002, for the first time, they awarded a best animated film. Prior to that, only one animated film had ever been nominated for Best Picture.
I'm gonna change it up.
Okay,
take a sec.
Give you a few seconds here. Gotta be.
I have a couple floating around. I don't think I'm right, but I took a shot.
Okay.
But I have a couple going on.
I liked the deep eye contact.
My time frame is throwing me off.
Oh, interesting.
Either answer, I felt, you know, like it was a good answer at least.
Okay.
Sorry, move on.
Scotty, ready?
Hundo.
Let's see him, baby.
Wow. Play.
We got Beauty and the Beast from Scott, Toy Story from Nick, The Lion King from Kelly, and from Brian. It is, in fact, Beauty and the Beast.
Really?
Beauty of the Beast. Either way. Yeah, absolutely. Oh. The original animated film.
Was that like 92, 94? Yeah,
I don't actually have the number. I should have.
Lion King was 94. I don't know if that was the same year.
Yeah,
Lion
I hope it was.
Came out in 94. That's right.
It was earlier.
Yeah. It was late 80s then, wasn't it?
Pro-Am?
I don't know. Whatever. The Beauty and the Beast here, the old school original one.
Pro-Am, you got that?
I do. 1991.
91.
Okay. Yeah. Sense. Lion King was my other thought.
Yeah. That's a good answer, too.
Yeah.
It stood alone for years. Now, this is this. Being nominated for Best Animated Film did not qualify as Best Film. So these are different categories, and there have been two since the animated film category came out that were nominated for Best Overall Film. Does anybody know those two? No, no points awarded.
Toy Story?
Keep going.
Three?
Yes.
Oh.
And?
Grumpy
Old Man.
Despicable Me.
Up.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I thought you were just talking to Scott.
Yeah. I honestly thought he was just talking to Scott when he said old man.
Wait, how many Toy Stories are there?
Four, I believe. Four.
It was supposed to be coming out with a five.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Ageless Wonder. All right. I should have come up with some cool music. Question number 18. It is worth 2 points.
Here we go.
We're living in the music category. Live Aid in 1985 was held in two main cities. Name them both, or each of them. You do get a point for each. Live Aid in 1985 was held in two main cities. Name each of those cities.
Major cities?
Maybe.
Same country, different country, continent.
They were both on Earth. That's the best
That's
I
true,
got for
they
you.
Were.
Wait, how do you spell the first one?
Good old Live Aid. 1985. Oh, it was
that's
hell.
Tough. Wait, if you get one right, do you get a point or no?
Yes.
Or you have to get, okay.
You get a point for each.
Okay.
It's worth 2 points.
Okay, now. Okay.
I don't know.
All right, we're coming down to the wire here. Live Aid, get two cities on a board. That was not Belleville, that I can assure you.
I don't know why. Whatever.
Nick's going back to the board. He's got a hunch.
I don't.
He doesn't. But he's got two cities on a board. Everybody got two cities on a board?
Yep.
Let's see those cities. I'd imagine we got London and New York from Brian. We've got Chicago and Woodstock from Kelly. London and L.A. from Scotty. And London and Liverpool from Nick. London's are correct. Nobody got the second one.
Mm.
Philly.
Mm.
Oh, wow. That's
totally learned this as I wrote this question.
You had London?
Yeah, I got London.
Brian, yeah, let's record London. Scores. Yeah, Brian had London. Scotty had London. Nick had London.
Got it.
I knew London for sure, but I had no idea on the other.
I knew London for sure, but yeah.
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 Did not really
New York know. Was the other one I was thinking too.
I went to New York just because you're basically the two big major cities. If
yeah, no, that's a fine guess, of course.
I knew London, but yeah.
I thought it would both be in the U.S.
Do you guys remember why it was held?
AIDS?
What was it raising? No, that's Live Aid.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, I know.
It's money for Africa?
No. Homeless.
Kind of.
Homeless people?
It was famine. It was a famine relief fund organized to raise famine relief funds. It was one of the first truly global live events. And of course, Queen's set.
That's epic.
I'm thinking Farm Aid with Dave Matthews and Woody Nelson. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That would make more sense.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah, Willie Nelson. What I say?
Woody Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Eddie Vedder and Neil Young.
Neil Young. Yeah.
John Mellencamp. Those are like the. Yeah.
Speaking of old man, so Live Aid had a huge impact on me in terms of music. It is one of the primary events that really got me into
core memory.
I remember watching it as a kid being glued to the TV. Now, whether or not it was live,
while
probably
was
not.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But I remember watching the Freddie Mercury performance now that probably got a billion downloads on YouTube.
Oh,
but I remember watching it as a kid just being enthralled by it.
And I mean, the movie Bohemian Rhapsody absolutely crushed it.
They crushed that scene.
Right?
Yeah. Did a great job.
Did a great job. Very good. All right. Moving on to question number 19, also worth 2 points. And you get kind of a wide swing at this one. All right. It is sports. Name two of the four champions from the major United States sports leagues for the 2020 season. So we've had this debate 1,000 times.
Say that again.
I will. But the Super Bowl was played in 2021. Okay. So who won in 21? But it was for the 2020 season. There were 4 major sports, NFL, oh. NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL.
In 2020.
In 2020, the COVID year. So this was an outlier. This is why I chose this year.
Dunsky.
Name 2 of the 4 championship
2020?
Franchises. 2020. Ooh. Brian is very confident. Love that.
Oh, they won in 2020.
No, the other way. Everybody, okay. So the NHL.
Super Bowl would be, I got
the
you.
Super Bowl was the one that was technically played in 2021.
Yes.
But it was four. That's why I worded it for the 2020 season.
Yeah.
That's right.
But MLB basketball and hockey will be 2020 year.
Yes. Yep. That's right. Sorry to make that so confusing, but I really wanted to do this question. So I have to play along. So you're going to list 2 professional sports franchises.
Wait.
2 of the 4.
So 2 that you think won the champion. Okay. So we only get to pick 2?
No. Yeah.
You're only getting 2 points. So you can list all 4 of them, but you're only going to get 2. And you list all 4. You better get them all right because I'm going to pick 2 at random. It's just list 2.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you get 1?
You do get a point for naming 1 correct.
Let's give him all day. Let's give him all day.
No, we're gonna
sorry,
put
that
a
was
count
just,
on it.
I heard that weird.
When he's 100% right, he's like, hey, guys, hey.
That's what I'm saying. It's close. It's close. You're giving him a lot of time.
I don't know. For some reason, I really heard that weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was wordy.
Of the 4 major sports, name 2 of the teams that you think won it.
Yeah.
Okay.
For their season. That's right.
Yeah.
And who was the champion for each of the 4 major sports?
Yes.
I don't know.
All right. We got 3 seconds if you need to finalize. 3, 2, 1. Let's see the board.
Damn it.
Brian's got the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I didn't see the other one.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
We've got the LA Lakers and the Bruins from Kelly, Yankees and Patriots from Scott, Chiefs and Celtics from Nick. Grade your own. There were only 2 cities represented. Los Angeles for the Lakers and the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Lightning. So Brian gets 2 of
Buccaneers,
the points.
Okay. Yeah.
Brian gets 2.
That was Brady's win.
Okay. Brian gets 2. Kelly got 1. I don't think you and I didn't get any, right, Scott?
Right.
Correct.
I wanted to go Dodgers. I didn't know. I didn't think it went back that far.
There you go. The pandemic forced major changes in how the seasons were played, neutral sites, shortened schedules, and bubbles, right? And limited to no or few fans.
Ryan took the lead on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why don't we go ahead as we head into our 4-point final question. Go ahead and give us 1 final
update. All right. I have 13. Scott has 14. So does Kelly. Wait.
No.
Can't be right.
No.
What am I? I messed up. Oh, sorry. Brian's got 15.
13.
My bad.
XV, bro.
That's XV. I did double X on that. All right. Sorry. 13. I have 13. Scott and Kelly have 14. Brian has 15.
As we head into question number 20, gentlemen, get your boards ready. We will finish at the movies. In the 2001 film Ocean's 11, 4 cast members have won an Academy Award for acting. That is an important distinction. Have won Academy Awards for acting. Name as many as you can, and you'll get 1 for each of the 4.
What if we name 4 and we're wrong with 1 of them?
Then you would get 3 points.
Okay.
Yeah. Each correct answer is its own point.
Okay.
Is this in the acting category? Is this Oscars, Emmys, Tonys?
I have to... Oscars. Did I say Oscars? Academy Awards.
Read the whole question again.
Yeah. 2001 version of the film, so we're leaving the Rat Pack out of it. 4 cast members have won an Academy Award for acting. Name as many as you can. So there are 4.
Okay. I feel confident.
Good.
I hope you guys got 4.
You said we can write as many as we want?
No.
Oh. There's 4.
You can guess 4 names. Basically.
You get 4 answers, and No, what was asked is if you get one of them wrong, do you still get the points for the other three? And the answer is yes for every correct answer. Oh, okay. But you only get four slots.
Yeah, yeah.
There's four answer slots. One final time, I'll read it nice and slow. In 2001 film Ocean's 11, four cast members have won an Academy Award for acting.
I'm starting to...
Name them. Okay, Scotty is finishing up. Make sure you only have four, but you have four at least.
Easy.
Everybody no. ready?
Yep.
BQ is... Come on.
I started thinking... Go ahead.
We're going to go to BQ last since he's in the lead. Let's go to Nick. We got Matt Damon, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Julia Roberts. Scotty has Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Michael Caine, and Casey Affleck. We have from Kelly, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Don Cheadle, and Matt Damon.
Cheadle's a good one.
And from Brian, Casey Affleck, Matt Damon, George Clooney, and Brad Pitt. Here they are. George Clooney. Brad Pitt, Casey Affleck, and Julia Roberts.
Oh, nice on the Julia Roberts.
Yeah, nice call. I thought she was going to slide right underneath there.
I had Casey Affleck down. I flipped a coin between him and Matt Damon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Manhattan by the Sea.
That's it. That's right. So, George Clooney won for Syriana. Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Julia Roberts.
Aaron Brockovich?
Brockovich. And as we just heard, Casey Affleck in Manchester by the Sea. So this isn't just a heist crew. It's an Oscar convention. The main ensemble racks up 30 Academy Award nominations seven total wins. Four acting wins, as we just discussed, and three non-acting wins. Clooney and Pitt as Best Picture producers for Argo and 12 Years a Slave, and Matt Damon for original screenplay in Good Will Hunting. And even beyond the winners, Don Cheadle, Andy Garcia, Elliot Gould, and Matt Damon all had acting nominations. I love that movie.
Clearly.
It's so good.
So I wrote, I saw that movie once when it first came out.
No kidding.
So I could not remember everyone in it. So I wrote Michael Caine. I'm assuming he's not in that movie.
He is not.
Yeah.
Neither is Affleck.
Ben Casey. Well, yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
I thought Casey was, so I just assumed Ben was.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's right.
Alan Arkin?
Is he? No.
Not Alan Arkin. Who's Carl Reiner? Is the
Reiner.
Yeah.
Kind of the point man, if you will.
That might be
Andy Garcia's in there.
Andy Garcia is kind of the antagonist.
The older Reiner is in it?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The dad's in it. He plays Saul.
The dad from Friends.
Elliot Gould.
I couldn't think of his name. Bernie Mac's in it.
What's
Scott Conn?
Scott Conn, yep. Him and Affleck are always back and forth.
Don Cheadle is the explosive expert. What's the shaky Thatcher. Livingston? What's I don't know his acting name.
Who's that?
The tech guy.
I don't know his real name.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I gotcha.
That's a great flick.
It is.
It's a good movie.
Nicholas, what does the final score look like?
Well, score. Doc, you and I both ended with 15.
Hey.
Respectable.
Yeah.
Kelly, you ended with 16.
Hey.
Big B coming out on top with 18.
Hey, win. Bravo.
Nice.
Well done, baby. Very good. Very good. Well, guys, I wasn't sure just how long that was going to last, so I didn't really write much of a closer. Did you enjoy the XXL trivia?
I did. I liked it.
It's tough.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
All over the map.
I can take it or leave it.
Congrats, Brian.
Get a little long in the tooth there for you.
A little bit.
I think he's bitter because Brian beat him.
That's it for the boy.
Nice work, BQ.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. We're going to close it out right here. Any final thoughts or questions?
Nope. Congrats, man.
Very good. That's going to do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Don't forget, we need subscribers out there so Scotty gets that tattoo, baby. Come on.
Yeah, baby.
Go to YouTube and hit it.
1 million.
That's right. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. And until then, keep those brains sharp and those bellies laughing.
Hey, trivia fans, we're excited to partner with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned company bringing you the exclusive Ultimate Trivia Podcast apparel. No minimum orders, just high-quality gear so you can rep your love for trivia in style. Shop now at www.warriorlogowear.com. Through the link in our show notes, on social, or at theultimatetriviapodcast.com. Big thanks to Warrior Logo Wear for teaming up with us. Now let's get to the trivia.